Cooper's Hill, a poem by John Denham. Sure we have poets that did never dream upon Pont Parnassus, nor taste the stream of Helicon, and therefore I suppose those made not poets, but the poets those. And as courts make not kings, but kings the court, so where the muses and their troops resort, Parnassus stands, if I can be to thee a poet, thou Parnassus art to me. Nor wonder if, advantaged in my flight, by taking wing from thy auspicious height, through untraced ways and airy paths I fly, more boundless in my fancy than my eye, exalted to this height, I first look down on Paul's, as men from thence upon the town. Paul's, the late theme of such a muse whose flight has bravely reached and soared above thy height. Now thou shalt stand, though time or sword or fire or zeal more fierce than they thy fall conspire. Secure, whilst thee the best of poets sings, preserved from ruin by the best of kings. As those who raised in body or in thought above the earth or the air's middle vault, behold how winds and storms and meteors grow, how clouds condense to rain, congeal to snow, and see the thunder formed before it tear the air, secure from danger and from fear. So raised above the tumult and the crowd, I see the city in a thicker cloud of business than of smoke, where men like ants toil to prevent imaginary wants, yet all in vain, increasing with their store, their vast desires, but make their wants the more, as food to unsound bodies, though it please, the appetite feeds only the disease, where, with like haste, though several ways they run, some to undo, and some to be undone, while luxury and wealth, like war and peace, are each other's ruin and increase, as rivers lost in seas, some secret vein thence reconveys, there to be lost again. Some study plots, and some those plots t'undo, others to make 'em, and undo 'em too. False to their hopes, afraid to be secure, those mischiefs only which they make endure. Blinded with light, and sick of being well, in tumult seek their peace, their heaven in hell, of happiness, of sweet betired content, to be at once and innocent. Winds the next, where Mars with Venus dwells, beauty with strength above the valley swells into my eye, as the late married dame, who proud yet seems to make that pride her shame, when nature quickens in her pregnant womb, she wishes past, and now her hopes to come, with such an easy and unforced ascent, Windsor her gentle bosom doth present, where no stupendous cliff, no threatening heights, access deny, no horrid steep affrights, but such a rise as doth at once invite a pleasure and a reverence from the sight. Thy master's emblem, in whose face I saw a friend-like sweetness and a king-like awe, where majesty and love so mixed appear, both gently kind, both royally severe. So Windsor, humble in itself, seems proud to be the base of that majestic load, than which no hill a nobler burden bears, but Atlas only, that supports the spheres. Nature this mount so fitly did advance. We might conclude that nothing is by chance so placed, as if she did on purpose raise the hill to rob the builder of his praise. For none commands his judgment that doth choose that which a blind man only could refuse. Such are the towers which the hoary temples graced of Cybele, when all her heavenly race do homage to her, yet she cannot boast, amongst that numerous and celestial host, more heroes than can Windsor, nor doth fame's immortal book record more noble names, nor to look so far to whom this isle must owe the glory of so brave a pile, whether to Caesar, Albernact, or Brute, the British Arthur, or the Danish Canute. Though this of old no less contested move, than when for Homer's birth seven cities strove, like him in birth, thou shouldst be like in fame, as thine his fate, if mine has been his flame. But whosoever it was, nature designed, first a brave place, and then as brave a mind. No to recount those several kings to whom it gave a cradle, or to whom a tomb, but thee, great Edward, and thy greater son, he that the lilies wore, and he that won, and thy Bellona, who deserves her share, in all thy glories of that royal pair, which waited on thy triumph, she brought one, thy son the other brought, and she that son. Nor of less hope could her great offspring prove, a royal eagle cannot breed a dove. Then didst thou found that order, whether love or victory thy royal thoughts did move, each was a noble cause, nor was it less in institution than the great success, whilst every part conspires to give it grace, the king, the cause, the patron, and the place, which foreign kings and emperors esteem, the second honour to their diadem. Had thy great destiny but given thee skill to know as well as power to act her will, that from those kings who when thy captives were in after times should spring a royal pair, who should possess all that thy mighty power or thy desires more mighty did devour, to whom their better fate reserves whate'er the victor hopes for or the vanished fear, that blood which thou and thy great grandsire shed, and all that since these sister nations bled, had been unspilt, had happy Edward known that all the blood he spilled had been his own, hadst thou extended through the conquered east thine and the Christian name, and made them blessed to serve thee, while that loss this gain would bring, Christ for their God, and Edward for their king. When thou that saint thy patron didst design, in whom the martyr and the soldier join, and when thou didst with azure round, who evil thinks may evil him confound, the English arms encircled thou didst seem, but to foretell and prophesy of him, who was within the azure round confined, these realms which nature for their bound designed, that bound which to the world's extremest ends, endless herself, her liquid arms extends. In though whose heroic face I see the saint, better expressed than the liveliest paint, that fortitude which made him famous here, that heavenly piety which saints him there, who, when this order he forsakes, may he companion of that sacred order be. Here could I fix my wonder, but our eyes, nice as our tastes, affects varieties. And thou, one please him most, the hungry guest, tastes every dish, and runs through all the feast. So having tasted Windsor, casting round my wandering eye, an emulous hill doth bound my more contracted sight, whose top of late a chapel crowned, till in the common fate the joining abbey fell, may no such storm fall on our times, where ruin must reform. Tell me, my muse, that monstrous dire offence, what crime could any Christian king incense to such a rage? Was't luxury or lust? Was he so temperate, so chaste, so just? Were these their crimes? They were his own and more. But they, alas, were rich, and he was poor. and having spent the treasures of his crown, condemns their luxury to feed his own, and yet this act to varnish o'er the shame of sacrilege must bear devotion's name. He might think it just, and cause and time considered well, for none commits a crime appearing such, but as 'tis understood, a real for at least a seeming good. While for the church his learned pen disputes, his much more learned sword his pen confutes. Thus to the ages past he makes amends, their charity destroys, their faith defends. Then did religion in a lazy cell, in empty, airy contemplation dwell, and like the block unmoved lay, but hours, as much too active like the stork, devours. Is there no temperate region can be known betwixt their frigid and our torrid zone? Could we not wake from that lethargic dream, but to be restless in a worse extreme? And for that lethargy was there no cure, but to be cast into a calenture? Can knowledge have no bound, but must advance so far to make us wish for ignorance, and rather in the dark to grope our way, than led by a false guide to err by day? Parting from thence twixt anger, shame and fear, those for what's past and this for what's too near, my eye descending from the hill surveys, where the Thames amongst the wanton valleys strays. Thames, the most loved of all the ocean sons, by his old sire to his embraces runs, hasting to pay his tribute to the sea, like mortal life to meet eternity. And though his clearer sand no golden veins like Tagus and Pactolus streams contains, his genuine and less guilty wealth to explore, search not his bottom, but survey this shore, o'er which he kindly spreads his spacious wing, and hatches plenty for the ensuing spring. Nor with a furious and unruly wave, like profuse kings, resumes the wealth he gave. No unexpected inundation spoil the mower's hope, nor mock the ploughman's spoil. Then like a lover he forsakes his shores, who stay with jealous eyes his spouse implores, till with parting kiss he saves her tears, and promising return secures her fears. As a wise king first settles fruitful peace in his own realms, and with their rich increase, seeks wars abroad, and in triumph brings the spoils of kingdoms and the crowns of kings. So Thames to London doth at first present those tributes which neighbouring counties sent, but as his second visit from the east, spices he brings, and treasures from the west, finds wealth where 'tis, bestows it where it wants, cities and deserts, woods and cities plants, rounds the whole globe, and with his flying towers, brings home to us, and makes both Indies ours. So that to us no thing, no place is strange, while thy fair bosom is the world's exchange. Oh, could my verse freely and smoothly flow, as thy pure flood, heaven should no longer know her old Eridanus, thy purest stream should bathe the gods and be the poet's theme. Hear nature, whether more intent to please us herself with strange varieties, for things of wonder more, no less delight to make the wise makers than behold a sight, though these delights from several causes move. For so our children, thus our friends we love. Wisely she knew the harmony of things, as well as that of sounds, from discord springs. Such is the discord which did first disperse form, order, beauty through the universe, while dryness moisture, coldness heat resists, all that we have and that we are subsists, while the steep horrid roughness of the wood strives with the gentle calmness of the flood. Such huge extremes, when nature doth unite wonder, from thence results from thence delight. The stream so transparent, pure and clear, that had the self-enamoured youth gazed here, so fatally deceived he had not been, while he the bottom not his face had seen, and such the roughness of the hill, on which Diana her toils, and Mars his tents might pitch. And as our surly supercilious lords, big in their frowns, and haughty in their words, look down on those whose humble, fruitful pain their proud and barren greatness must sustain. So looks the hill upon the stream, between there lies a spacious and a fertile green, where from the woods the dryads oft meet, thy naiads, and with their nimble feet soft dances lead, although their airy shape all but a quick poetic sight escape, where Faunus and Silvanus keep their courts, and thither all the horrid host resorts, when like elixir with his evening beams the sun has turned to gold the silver streams, to graze the ranker mead, that noble herd, on whose sublime and shady fronts is reared nature's great masterpiece, to show how soon great things are made, but sooner much undone. Here have I seen our Charles, when great affairs give leave to slacken and unbend his cares, chasing the royal stag, the gallant beast, roused with noise, twist hope and fear distressed, resolves 'tis better to avoid than meet his dangers, trusting to his winged feet, but when he sees the dogs, now by the view, now by the scent, his speed with speed pursue. He tries his friends amongst the lesser herd, but he but lately was obeyed and feared. Safety he seeks, the herd, unkindly wise, or chases him from thence, or from him flies. Like a declining statesman left forlorn, to his friends pity, and pursuers scorn. Wearied, forsaken, and pursued at last, all safety in despair of safety place, courage he thence assumes, resolved to bear all their assaults, since 'tis in vain to fear. But when he sees the eager chase renewed, himself by dogs, the dogs by men pursued, when neither speed, nor art, nor friends, nor force, could help him towards the stream, he bends his course, hoping those lesser beasts would not essay an element more merciless than they. But fearless they pursue, nor can the flood quench their dire thirst, alas, they thirst for blood. As some brave hero, whom his baser foes in troops surround, now these assail, now those, though prodigal of life, disdains to die by vulgar hands, if he can descry some nobler foes approach, to him he calls and begs his fate, and then contended falls. So the tall stag amidst the lesser hounds repels their force, and wounds return for wounds, till Charles from his unerring hand lets fly a mortal shaft, then glad and proud to die. By such a wound he falls the crystal flood, dying he dies, and purples with his blood. This is a more innocent and happy chase than that of old, but in the self-same space fair liberty pursued, and men to prey to tyranny here turned and stood at bay, when in that remedy all hope was placed, which was, as should have been, at least the last, for armed subjects can have no pretense against their princes but their just defence. And whether then or no, I leave to them to justify who else themselves condemn. Yet might the fact be just, if we may guess the justness of an action from success. Here was the charter sealed, wherein the crown all marks of arbitrary power lays down, tyrant and slave, those names of hate and fear, the happier style of king and subject bear, happy when both to the same centre move, when kings give liberty and subjects love. Therefore not long in force this charter stood, wanting that seal, it must be sealed in blood. The subjects armed, the more their princes gave, but this advantage took, the more to crave, till kings by giving give themselves away, and even then that power that should deny, betray, who gives constrained but his own fear reviles, nor thanked but scorned, nor are their gifts but spoils. And they whom no denial can withstand seem but to ask, while they I indeed command, thus all to limit royalty conspire, while each forgets to limit his desire. Till kings like old Antaeus, by their fall, being forced their courage from despair recall. When a calm river raised with sudden rains, or snow dissolved, o'erflows the adjoining plains, the husbandman, with a high raised bank secure, their greedy hopes, and this he can endure. But if, with bays and dams, they strive to force his channel to a new or narrow course, no longer then within his banks he dwells, first to a torrent, then a deluge swells, stronger and fiercer by restraint he roars, and knows no bound, but makes his power his shores. Thus kings, by grasping more than they can hold, first made their subjects by oppression bold, and popular sway by forcing kings to give more than was fit for subjects to receive, ran to the same extreme, and one excess made both by striving to be greater less. Nor any way but seeking to have more makes either lose what each possessed before. Therefore their boundless power, till princes draw within the channel the shores of law, and may the law which teaches king to sway their sceptres teach their subjects to obey.